Philippians chapter 2 is where we are. And this is an appropriate text for tonight. We're looking, if you would, at the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And he's writing about examples in his life of submissiveness. He talked about Timothy, and then last week we talked about Epaphroditus. I want you to look at these verses, and let me share just a few thoughts, and then we'll testify and take the Lord's Supper. He said in verse number 25, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service to me." Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord, and help me to preach in a way that honors you. We love you. We thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Paul was challenging the people at Philippi that in order to have joy, they needed to embrace this biblical principle of submission. There's no way around it. There are no optional routes. You can't bypass submission and have joy. Somebody asked me this week, why is it that so many people that I know that aren't living right have joy? I said, they have something that looks like joy, but it ain't joy. They put it on when you see them, so you think they have it. They front it like it's bona fide, but in the tough times, when they let their guard down, we find out they don't have it. You see, they don't have it because there's only one place to get it, and that place is from God. And you can only get it from God if you get it God's way. And God's way to joy is submission. Paul gave us the epitome of that submission when he held Jesus up. Jesus got his own joy by submitting. Work out your own salvation. That's the execution of submission. You want joy? Look at the epitome. You want joy? Embrace the execution. Get your shovel, get your bucket, and dig for your gold. He said, let me tell you about a couple guys in my life that will show you the example of submission. Timothy was my servant companion. Paul was a man's man of grit, gumption, drive, and discipline. And yet he said, in all my power, all my strength, all my go get it, God gave me a friend. Aren't you glad for friends in the ministry? Aren't you glad for that partner in the prison, or that one that works with you in the Sunday school class, or that one that knocks on the door for the bus route, or that one that works with you or sings beside you in the choir? Paul says, my servant companion, they that love the Lord must be willing to stand alone. But I'm glad that in these last days, God said, I'm going to give you some companions. now Epaphroditus, last week, my supportive comrade. He gave us the sincere characterization of this man, Epaphroditus, and he describes him in a threefold way. We saw it last week. Here it is again. My brother, my companion in labor, and my fellow soldier. By being my brother, we have an affectionate connection. By being my companion in labor, he's my assisting contribution. And by being my fellow soldier, he's my allied combatant. Aren't you glad that in the Christian life, you got brothers, you got companions, and you got soldiers, and we need all of them. Look tonight, if you would, beyond there at the solid caliber of this man. Pastor, why are we preaching on this? Because I not only want to encourage you that you can have friends, but I also want to encourage you to be a friend. Because it may be your turn next. And you're going to need somebody, amen, you're going to need somebody to love you when you need love. You need somebody to work with you when you got a job to do. And sometimes you need somebody to roll up his sleeves and go to war with you. Amen. And I'm telling you, you can find all three of them in the local church. Now look at him. He says he was an effective messenger. He said in verse number 25, your messenger. He was willing to go somewhere on your behalf to be a blessing to somebody else. How many of you know some people are too proud to be a messenger? I want the bigger job. I want the more glamorous spot. I want more credit. I want more attention. But Paul said, when y'all needed somebody to leave Philippi and come to Rome and travel hundreds of miles on your behalf, guess who was willing? Epaphroditus. I don't know about you. Messengers are important. They're not always preaching. They're not always teaching. They're not always with a microphone. They're not always in the forefront. They're not always in charge. But they got enough love for the Lord and for the people of God. They'll be a messenger. He was an effective messenger, but he was also an endearing minister. Your messenger that ministered to my wants. Now watch this now. He said he was there on your behalf, but he not only represented you, he helped me. He ministered to my wants. You ever been down before? You ever been down and out before? You ever been rendered in a position that doesn't allow you to do the things you're used to doing? And if you're one of these people like me that likes to be in control or likes to at least know what you're doing or likes to do for himself, it's not a fun place to be when you can't. When you're used to getting around and you can't. When you're used to being a blessing to somebody else and you can't. When you're used to going and you can't. You're used to giving and you can't. You're used to working and you can't. And now you're stuck somewhere. Paul said, I was stuck somewhere, but God gave me your messenger as my minister. And he says he has exemplary motives. Look at the question. Why did Epaphroditus do what he did? Verse 26, he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard he had been sick. Well, it stood out to me. He said, Epaphroditus had a heavy heart. And here was his heavy heart. He was burdened that the people that loved him had found out he was sick. And watch this now. He was sad that his own pain was causing other people pain. What a heart. It wasn't wasn't his sickness that bothered him. It was how his sickness bothered other people that bothered him. I won't tell you when you know you love somebody. You know you love somebody when you're concerned about somebody else's needs when you messed up yourself. He said he longed after you. If he could have been sick under the radar, he would have liked it better. If he could have been struggling and nobody knew about it, he would have liked it better. He didn't want to be a bother. He didn't want to be a burden. He didn't want to weary anybody's heart. Listen, he didn't want to worry anybody. Wow. Paul said, this kind of man that helped me. This was a man that was sad that the people that loved him and that he loved the most were burdened about him. In other words, he preferred to be burdened about people than to have people burdened about him. Notice the supernatural compassion, and we'll close. He almost died. He indeed, Paul said, we're not talking about hiccups. We're not talking about just allergies. We're not talking about the flu. He almost died. But God had mercy on him. Somebody tonight ought to thank God for his mercy. There's some folks in the building tonight that if it weren't for his mercy, you wouldn't be here. Now, don't get it wrong. None of us would be here if it weren't for his mercy. But there's some folks in the building who could identify with Epaphroditus. I was there. Knocking right on death's door. I was so close. The doctors were prepping my family for my departure. I was so close, some of you could say, that they didn't think I would make it. They were shaking their heads. They were singing the blues. They were preparing for the worst. They had done all they could do. They had run out of options. They had tried everything they could. They had upped the medicine as high as it could go, and nothing seemed to work. But when all else failed, the mercy of God came through. And Paul says, supernatural compassion of God came through in a desperate predicament by way of divine provision. Could I tell you, it's nice for people to be merciful, but people being merciful can't shake a stick at God's mercy. And sometimes you got to go back and recollect those things. The divine provision of God brought about definite protection. Paul said, not only him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. This is where I'm closing. Think about this. Paul's out in jail. And to be in jail for serving God, Paul said, was sorrowful. But I want you to feel Paul tonight. He says, my heart was already heavy because instead of being out preaching like I love to do, I'm stuck in prison. He said, but I'm going to be honest with you. If God had not healed Epaphroditus, the sorrow of not being able to preach because I was in prison would have been that much worse if I had to grieve the loss of my friend. Now watch this now. He says, God's provision in my friend's life protected me from sorrow upon sorrow. You, listen, here's what he's saying. Sometimes your happiness comes from somebody else's deliverance. He said, I was already messed up. I don't know if I could have handled any more sorrow than I already had if my main man had died. Well, somebody said, Well, Paul, God's grace would have been sufficient, and it would have. But Paul said, from a human perspective, even though I know God would have brought me through, I'm glad he protected me from having to go through that. Isn't God good? You ever been in a situation and thought, God, if you don't come through, I don't know what I'm going to do. And we all heard last week, when he says no, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be weak and he's going to be strong. But thank God that all of them don't come out that way. Thank God he goes, this time, sometimes he does. Thank God he goes, I ain't going to even put you through that. Watch this now. Here's God. I like this. Here's God. You're already dealing with enough. I ain't going to throw that more on you. You're already hurting. I'm not going to hurt you more while you're down. You're already going through enough. And when you love somebody, seeing them hurt hurts you. Look, and by the way, when we lose people, after we lose them, they ain't hurt. They're with the Lord. We're the ones got to deal with it. And Paul says, God spared me from more sorrow on top of sorrow already had. What a blessing. I'm thankful that God not only looks to the need of the individual in desperation, but he also looks to the needs of those that love that individual. And by delivering and healing somebody, he protects the other somebodies that love the somebody, because God's good enough to help a bunch of somebodies at the same time. And if we're not spiritual enough to at least pause and thank him for it, we will walk through the entire garden and never smell the roses. Thank God for his grace. And he keeps doing it. And there are going to be some times along the way. And by the way, it's all those times when he does do that that sustain you through the times when he doesn't. Okay? So when God says no, write off all them yeses. And go, I'm going to just drink from the overflow of the last yes to get me through the current no. Preach, Pastor. Some of you are in the middle of a no. But go dig up the yes. And keep eating off that yes cup while you're in no. And just when you think you can't, eat off that yes plate because the no's too hard. Round the corner, here come another yes. He knows how to balance it out. And you stay around something called the local church long enough, you'll be in on enough of them. Yeses and no's and yeses and no's and yeses and no's. And the no seems like it's too big of a no. And just about when you think it is, here come a big old yes in all caps, italicized, bold print, Sharpie, underlined with 5 exclamation points. And you think, won't he do it? Paul said, that's how I got through my prison time. People who love me. Now, thank God he's brought you through yours. Now, if you ain't in prison spiritually right now, and you ain't in any bars spiritually, then you go help bring somebody else through theirs. By the grace of God, he'll do it again. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen.